So it's a relatively small question we're thinking about this evening. Who made God? Well, increasingly today the suggestion is being made that we made God. Us, as humanity, felt the need in our ignorance for some explanation for the mysteries we see around us. Seasons, weather, growth, disaster, life and death. So humanity, for want of a better explanation, created God to provide some answers, to give some meaning, to fill the gaps, and often to provide some control. So you keep people in line by threatening or coaxing them with some god who either like or smite them, which turns all of life, of course, into one big X-Factor audition. Now, of course, with our increased knowledge and understanding of the world, we've outgrown the need for a god. We understand so much more. There are fewer and fewer gaps to fill, and so less need for a god. Maturity as a species has taken us away from religion. It's only the confused or backward or weak people who need the crutch that religion or God provides. We made God, but we don't need him anymore. Well, here's something that might surprise you a little. The Bible agrees with some of that. The Bible says that we are very creative in our God-making, that we love to create a deity to both worship and control, one who will meet either our wants or expectations, and those gods that we create are not always nice. Which means, of course, that we must be very careful about defining who we mean when we say God. It is not enough just to talk about a higher power or a need for spirituality or even of a great and powerful God, because we might still be making it up to suit our expectations. So when we say God, what do we mean? So the Bible agrees with the idea that we do make gods up to suit our circumstances, that some of the gods that we talk about are mere fanciful creations, wishful thinking, or the product of ignorance, or worse. But the Bible also points us to the one true living God, who by his very nature is the creator, not created. So one for whom the question, who made God, actually makes no sense, because God is and always has been. But how do we know that this God of the Bible is the real, true and living God and not just the fabric of our imagination? And there is still the assertion that our superior understanding today has shown that the whole concept of God is simply redundant and unnecessary. Well, let me give you two things to think about this evening, just briefly. Firstly, the fact that humankind throughout history has retained a sense that there is something more, something spiritual, does not, of course, mean that there is a God. But the fact that humankind through history has believed so is not to be dismissed without a thought because we today are more advanced. That is arrogant in the extreme and suggests that everyone who has gone before us, from Isaac Newton to Aristotle, were inherently stupid and backward. Neither does it take into account the fact that today there are intelligent men and women from the arts and the sciences who retain a belief and trust in the God of the Bible, just as there are others who do not. So intelligence is not the dividing point on whether people believe in God or not. Because it is simply not true to say that because we have filled in gaps of scientific knowledge that we remove the need for God, because no intelligent person has ever believed in God just to fill the gaps. Bright and clever people with great understanding of how the world works both believe and disbelieve in God. God has not been made redundant by filling in gaps of knowledge, because belief in him was never just a replacement for stuff we don't understand. The key question to ask is what makes most sense of this world in which we live? A world where we believe that people matter, where we live as if right and wrong exist. Where I will be wrong, not merely antisocial, to mistreat my children. You see, those categories of right and wrong are impossible to establish if you have no outside reference points, because they just become your opinion, and therefore not binding on anyone else. And you see, our inherent sense of value and worth cannot be explained by chemical formula. Increased knowledge and technical and scientific advances in understanding, whilst being thrilling and good and giving insights into great wonders, have not and cannot engage with the intrinsic value we place on human life. There remains more to us. Which means that humankind has not been backward over the centuries by acknowledging that there is something more, something spiritual, that there is a God, but rather humankind has been realistic. Who we are and how we work points to the reality of God, and that's what the Bible says. But why should we think the God of the Bible is the one true living God, and not merely a fabrication to meet our sense of otherness? What makes him the true God? Well, that brings me to my second thing for you to think about. is because he has made himself known. The true and living God has moved beyond the sense of something more to reveal himself to us, to pin himself down in history, to make himself checkable. He's lived amongst humanity as one of us in the person of Jesus, and he died and rose again to new life. Not some spiritual other plane death and rebirth, but genuine physical death and real bodily resurrection. The God who is there has not left us to our sense of spirituality or a feeling in your bones or some mystical experience to work out if he is real. He's opened himself up to your reason. I wonder if you've read one of the first-hand accounts of Jesus' life and yourself as an adult. There are some free copies on your table. Do take one away and see for yourself. See, our question this evening is, who made God? And we saw that we can be very good at making gods of our own. But here's the thing. You'll never have made a god like this one you'll see in the Bible. We're increasingly distrustful of authority today, not least because we often feel let down, rightly or wrongly, by those in authority. So in the past few years, banks have collapsed and politicians have been exposed as on the take via their expenses. And the Hillsborough inquiry has exposed a police cover-up. And the result is that we are loath to trust authority. We worry about someone being in control. So sometimes I think we ask who made God because we do not want to reach the end of the line. We don't want to find the one with whom the buck stops. We want someone to have made God because we are not sure we can trust him to be in control. Because God is big and powerful and mighty and vengeful and distant and scary and mean. And I don't think I want the buck to stop there. I don't think I could trust him to be in control. See, we're very creative in making gods, and we never get it right. The old man with the flowing beard sitting far off and distant. Or the killjoy headmaster out to spoil our fun. Or the mean and malicious power-hungry deity flinging around his thunderbolts. That's the kind of God we create. But the God of the Bible is not like that. You would never ever make up the God who is actually there. Because he is the God who comes close and one of us in Jesus, not distant and far off. He's the one who comes to bring freedom and delight, to be the people he made us to be, not driven by the expectations of others. He's the one who is loving and kind, to the extent that he was willing to die in our place for the wrong things that we've done. He's the selfless God who gives himself up for you and me because he loves us. Do read one of the Gospels for yourself, Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, and meet the true and living God, the one who is there. He is God the Creator, so no one made him. But he's also the one who makes sense of our world, not a creation of the ignorant. And as you see what he's like, you'll discover one who it is a joy to trust, the God that you'll want to know. Thanks for listening.